Jaden Foster homework, Maury Foster students again.
Dokie, I have something to ask you.
Okay.
Do you have your wisdom teeth?
Three.
Did you have one extracted or it wasn't in there?
I had one extracted.
Could you feel it coming in or did they were just like, you need to get your wisdom teeth taken out?
I didn't feel the tooth, but I had pain back there up in the actual gums and they said it's because it was about to come in. I couldn't like feel a tooth.
So over the years, I've gone to the dentist. Like one does. And he's always been like, hey, we need to get those teeth out. I have a really small mouth, so I'm...
Do you? So rude.
Anywhoozle. I'm missing some of the back teeth, and this tooth on both sides are still baby teeth.
That's weird.
And there's no teeth underneath.
Weird.
So one day they're going to fall out and I'm going to have to get a bridge because I'm going to be like, hey guys, I got no teeth. So that's a fun fact about Tashina. Anyway.
A lot of Tashina hasn't matured yet. It's okay. One day.
Wow. Is this going to be a bashing of Tashina today? I wish I would have known. Okay. Well, here we go. So recently, can you put your tongue to the back of your
teeth? Yeah, it's not comfortable.
So I can. But that's another thing to know about Tashina, the things she can do with her tongue. Okay?
Oh, it's hard as hell for me to do it.
Okay, it's not for me because I have a small mouth.
Uh-huh. And a big tongue.
Yeah, you have a big head and a giant mouth. That's why you can't get it all the way back.
And a small tongue.
Who's out there with a flashlight walking their D.O.G.? What kind of D.O.G. is that?
Hopefully it's not the D.O.G. that bit me in the rump.
Are you going to talk to this D.O.G.?
Look at it. It's so cute. It's a bulldog. Oh. I just made Stephanie feel
so awkward.
Why am I? No, you're awkward. Anywho.
You didn't say a damn word.
To who?
Her.
I didn't know who it was. Who was it?
What was the purpose of rolling down the window?
I wanted to talk to the dog. I didn't want to talk to the person.
God.
Anyways, so you have a small head and a big tongue.
Uh-huh.
I have a big head and a small tongue.
Yeah, and I could put my tongue all the way to the back of my teeth. Well, just recently I can feel, I think, a wisdom tooth coming in.
Is it sore?
No.
You really got to be careful of like flopping your tongue back that far. You're going to choke on it. It's possible. People
you
choke on
feel
their
it?
Tongues. No. Your tongue or your tooth?
My tooth.
You want my grimy fingers in your...
I don't care. But this side, there's nothing. But this side, there's a bump, and I think I'm going to eventually get my wisdom teeth taken out.
Can I take you?
And all I can think about are those videos.
I know. Can I take you? Can I please? Tell me the day and I'll take it off.
No. I am so scared of what might fall out of this small mouth of mine that I cannot.
Oh, my God.
They're going to have to do it with just Novocaine because I can't take the gas.
I didn't have to get the gas for mine.
Yeah. There's so many things that I want to say that I actually hold back. You'd be surprised.
Maybe my tooth was coming in. Because they didn't put me out. They just ripped it out.
See?
So it had to have been out. Right? Because they never...
I don't know. But the last couple times that I've been to the dentist, he's like, hey, we should really take those out because the older you get, the harder it is to recover. And it hurts a lot worse.
Whole face is bruised.
And I'm like, meh, we'll just deal with it. When the time comes,
I'm young. Here it is.
I'm young. I'm good. And now all of a sudden I'm like,
she is young in her prime.
Mother trucker. I'm old and my tooth's coming in.
The time has come.
Yeah.
What's happening out there?
Yeah, dog's taking a poo. So anyway, I might have to get my wisdom tooth taken out. Only one though.
That was your question for me?
It wasn't really a question. I just
we should
to
have
talk about it.
People tell us their horror stories about getting wisdom teeth out, and then we can do a whole podcast.
Do you have your tonsils?
Nope.
You had those taken out too?
Do you have yours?
Were you not born with them?
No, I got those taken out in fifth grade.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I was miserable. I ate so much spaghetti.
Spaghetti?
That's like the only thing I remember is spaghetti from the country club. And it hurt really bad to swallow, but I just like cut little chunks and sucked on it.
No, I still
my
have
grandma
my tonsils.
Marge used to bring me, she brought me like milkshakes every day.
Aww, I just loved her.
I know, I miss her.
No, I still have my tonsils. The only thing that I'm missing is my,
brain.
Well, to be honest with you, yes, more often than not, she's not around. My appendix.
Oh, yes. I remember that we were camping.
Yes.
And Tashina was throwing up. It was really inconvenient because we were camping, trying to have a good time. And Tashina threw up all night long, all day the next day. We didn't come home because she's fine.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Good to
and
go.
She's such a trooper. Like, laughing, joking, throw up, laugh, joke, throw up. Like, she's...
I don't let puking stop me from having a good time.
No, so we bring her home 2 days later. No, I think it was one day, right? Like a day and a half later?
Well, because I came home and I was really, really sick. And then my mom took me the next morning to the doctor. And she took me to the tribal clinic down here. And they were like, if we think it is what it is, she needs to go to the actual hospital, which is scary. Because
the actual hospital
here
kills people.
Is a fucking Band-Aid station. So they took me down
here. I wouldn't even go there for a Band-Aid.
No. No.
I hate this place.
Yeah. So, they took me down here, and I remember the nurse, she was so fucking crotchety, and she gave me this, like, half gallon of this lemonade stuff that you have to drink for an MRI. Is that an MRI or a CAT scan? It's when you go in the big tube. Anyway, and I couldn't keep it down, because I was throwing up everything at that point, and she was like, you have to keep this down, or we can't do our jobs, and my mom got in her face and was like, if she fucking could keep it down,
she would. Yeah.
Like, obviously she's in pain.
Yeah.
So anyway, I kept enough down because I'm a super drooper. And then they did my MRI and my appendix was about to burst. And I remember specifically your family coming in. And at this point I had Demerol and morphine because I was in so much pain.
So looped out.
That is the highest I have ever been in my life. And it was magical.
And she was...
The curtain was, like, blue, and it
plain
had...
Plain blue, guys.
Plain blue, but it had little... It was had little squares, like, pattern on it, but they were, like, you couldn't... It was a solid color, but they were squares. But I specifically remember telling Rod, do you see those birds? And in my mind... They were like origami birds that I had mixed the little squares together and made like origami birds. And your dad, I remember being like, there's no birds. And then I got mad at your dad and was like, there are two birds. And he was like, okay, there's definitely birds. And then I just remember you guys laughing so hard at me. And then I got to take a helicopter ride to Reno. And that's when those big fires were. And I remember on the way there, they were like, oh, Tashina, wake up. You can see the fire from here if you want to. And I was like, oh.
Did you see it?
No, I was drugged out of my mind. I'm like, I don't give two shits about that
fire. She already
fire.
Saw the fire in the curtain.
So then I woke up, like not super delirious, in the fucking, I am not shitting you. I was freezing. I was in the fucking morgue. I am not kidding you. It was the scariest I've ever... There was nobody around. It was all tile. There was, like, the chrome benches, like, in the morgue. Fucking freezing. There was cabinets, and I was like...
Did you really scream?
Yes! And then there was a nurse that came in, and she was wearing, like, a...
Morgue clothes?
Huh?
Morgue clothes?
Yeah, I swear
like,
to God.
Was she a mortician?
And I was like, where's that? And she was like, you need to calm down. And I'm like, why am I in the morgue? She's like, you're not in the morgue. And I'm like, no, I'm in the morgue. And then here come my mom and Scott. And I was like, why am I in the morgue? Am I dying? Why do they have me in the morgue? And she was like, you're not in the morgue. This is right where they bring you right before you go into the operating room, which I think most people don't wake up from anesthesia in that area.
Soon. Yeah.
So then they had to give me more anesthesia, and then I woke up in, like, a regular hospital room, but...
Yeah, that would freak me out.
Yeah. I shit you not. I just woke up and it was just so cold and there was just silver everywhere. And I was just like, oh my God. This is the worst experience.
I must be a shit friend because the only thing I remember about that situation is how you inconvenienced our trip. And how you were high as a kite and saw birds. I don't remember them taking you for surgery. I don't remember you recovering
your
from surgery.
Your mom took my parents.
I don't remember that either. Did I go with them?
I don't think so. Your mom drove them, I think.
Maybe they were worried about you winding up in the morgue, so they left me here to save my little soul.
Maybe. Because I know that
you were
mom...
my best and only friend at that time.
I remember your mom drove them there. I think Scott had to go to work or something. Or was he with them too?
I don't think that you're the best one to recall all these memories, Miss. There's birds on the
shower
curtain.
Okay, Michelle, did you take my parents? Because I remember something along the lines of you driving somebody somewhere.
And I remember her ruining our camping trip.
How did I ruin it? I just
threw
puked.
Up the whole damn time. I was trying to have fun. Threw up all night long.
It was so bad.
And you had to climb.
Have you puked your whole intestines out multiple times during
and you
the
climbed,
weekend?
Wasn't
in a,
that
in a shitter in a camper? It's not the best.
Weren't you?
Just to let you know.
Weren't you on the top bunk too?
Yeah. And I had to climb down every fucking 30 minutes.
And my head was at the bottom and she kept almost stepping on me.
God, sorry. Well,
and then you were like,
head.
I was sleeping with my eyes open and you were freaked out. And I was like, so not only were you throwing up, but you're waking me up to tell me that I was sleeping with my eyes open.
That's a little creepy.
It just, I mean, it definitely wasn't the best camping trip I've ever had.
Wow. Well, I'm so sorry that I inconvenienced you with my appendix that
almost
burst.
It's no wonder
we
had a 10-year hiatus.
I mean, you know, sometimes you have to. Alrighty.
Tashina just took me on quite the adventure.
We had to go pick up Peyton from ballet, guys. She's got the little Christmas show coming up.
Biden? Is that you? Jaden hid in the back of the car from Peyton. Then she jumped out. We knew Jaden was back there. She's still scared, Tashina. Tashina almost killed us because of a cat.
I almost hit a lady.
Then all of a sudden, there was a baby trapped in a box on the floor.
Outside.
Yeah.
Not in a floor. It was outside on the ground.
And Tashina was trying to get her son to get it. For some reason, her daughter, Cole, caught right in the forehead. Why did she do that? She hit him so hard.
And Stephanie just started laughing.
And I didn't know it was a serious situation. And that, because like, if that happened in my car.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. But Tashina's like mad and yelling at Peyton. And I didn't realize that till after I was crying so hard. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. I mean, so then I had to pretend like I was being serious, hiding in my sweater.
And then Jade's all, Mom, you're laughing.
And then Tashina's glaring at Peyton and Peyton starts laughing because I laughed. She really hit him good.
Yeah.
Right in the head.
Freaking roundhouse possess. Between her and Peyton, they're gonna have a fight club. Yeah. Lord.
And so Tashina's yelling at her to not ever do that again in her life, and then gets out, and then she threatened to physically end my daughter's life.
Wait, hold on. Cover your little children's ears right now. Do it. Otherwise, it's gonna ruin it for them. Get them out of the room. Okay, go ahead. Hello? Did you fucking have a brain fart?
I already told my part of the story. I physically
threatened
to end Jaden's life.
Because
Jaden knows about the elf on the shelf.
Because Stephanie is too lazy of a parent to keep the magic alive for her children.
Too lazy of a parent.
What else was it then? Why couldn't you keep it alive for them?
It's called lack of holiday cheer.
Bullshit. I go over there the other day and it's like Griswold's Christmas
over
there.
That's because Joey moved in.
Well, then Joey should have been the one in charge of the elf. Anywho, Jaden has already almost told my son that it is not real because she said, well, what about the elf? It's in our closet. And my son looked at her like, he lives at the North Pole. What do you mean he's in the closet? And I went like this to your daughter.
Oh, what?
And she was like, meh.
Yeah, is that a pressure point?
Yeah.
Ow.
I spocked her and I was like, shut your mouth. And then I thought, oh my God, that was a little aggressive, Tashina. Because then I was like, is she going to cry?
She kind of looked like she was going to cry.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, that
was aggressive.
I think
she's slightly afraid of you.
Good. Somebody's got to be. You know what I mean? With Jaden, somebody's got, you know. If she's afraid of me and your mom, good for you. You know what I mean? So I threatened her there. And then Peyton just got in. And Peyton is really on the verge of not believing in shit. Like this year she tried to catch me and was like, yeah, I'm just going to write Santa a letter and then he'll know what I want. And I'm like, well, what if I get you the same thing Santa does? And then you're going to have two of the same thing. Like, you got to tell me what you're going to ask Santa for so we don't get the same thing. Because what we do is we do the five presents thing. We went over this before, but something they want, something they need, something to wear, something to read, and somewhere to go, whatever. And then Santa gets their big gift. So it's not wrapped or anything. So, anyway.
That's a good idea. We should do that because that I feel like that would cut down costs so much.
Well, and like seriously, what do your kids actually need? Fucking nothing.
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 And I cannot tell you that I've already spent so much money and I'm
for
like
what?
Almost like $1,800.
Yeah. No, it's
and
ridiculous.
I'm still stressed out because that was like barely anything.
Yeah.
And like they all still need more stuff.
Yeah. So the five rule thing is good because they get some clothes, they get something to read, they get, you know, something that they asked for. It works out really well. You should try it.
Yeah,
next
I think
time.
That's a good idea.
Or if you can still do it, you should try it.
I talked Joey into it. Joey's worried about Christmas because he never got to celebrate. So like anything that's on their list, he's like, yeah, we'll get it for him. And I'm like, no.
But they don't need, because then it sets them up for expectations. I mean, the older they get, the more expensive it's going
to
get.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to explain to him because like they'd give us a list. And to me, a list is an idea. Like what kind of stuff do you want?
Right.
But just because it's on your list doesn't
mean
you're
getting it
for you. But for Joey, it's like if it's on the list, we're getting it for him. And I don't agree with that.
So I do that budget mom. Well, I shouldn't say that. Last year, I started it at the beginning of the year. Or this year, at the beginning of the year, I started it. And then I fucking failed off. Anyway, one of her big things is to start saving like in January for Christmas. So that way you're debt free for Christmas. And one of her big things was she sat her son down, who's four. So she's like, I know it's not that big of a deal right now because, you know, he doesn't really care, but you sit him down and tell them, you know, like what you said, just because it's on your list doesn't mean you're going to get it. You can't expect me to buy everything, especially with the economy the way it is. Like, we bought a birthday cake. Well, my office bought a birthday cake for my boss today. It was $30 for one of those round carrot cakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous right now.
And that's what I already told my girls, like, because normally they're like counting and comparing like who got what, and I already told them like your guys' lists are so different and the expense of them are all different,
right.
Like we are not comparing to the other person, and
no.
I swear to God if I hear it I'm just gonna take your stuff because clearly you're like ungrateful,
right.
Like it's not happening.
Yeah,
like some of Addie's toys are like almost $200 that she asked for. I'm like looking them up.
What?
It's like 180, 140, and one of them's like a Barbie set, and it's fucking $160.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I would never have thought it would be that
right.
much money. Like, ridiculous.
I honestly feel like we should go back to the Christmas where it's like everybody, like you make the popcorn garland and everybody, you know what I mean? Like one present and that's it, or I don't know. I try really hard
to not be a humbug, but honestly, I hate Christmas so much as a parent now.
Yes.
It's fucking stressful.
Like,
there is no holiday fun. Like, it's stressful.
Like it was fun when we were kids, but now that we're the ones that have to make all the magic and have
spend
to make
the money, it's not even. I don't even make magic. I don't do any.
But, I do.
No, I don't at all. But like, just like the gift part of it, like, is enough to stress me the hell. For somebody who likes to save money,
right.
and who doesn't spend
right.
money, like it. So. Obviously, I save money, so I have money
right.
to spend.
But that
to
doesn't
watch
mean you wanna
it
drop.
Like
yeah.
significantly drop over stuff that honestly I think is bullshit. Like,
and they're gonna break it in freaking 2 days.
Toys.
Yeah.
I hate toys.
Mm-hmm.
I despise toys. Mm-hmm. Like with a passion. I hate little things.
Yeah.
Like I have a really hard time with Christmas. Honestly, like.
See, and we don't even buy our kids toys anymore because they don't play with them.
Yeah. That.
But. My kids are fucking heathens.
Yeah.
And they ruin everything. Like, they will get, like, a little dollar store toy or whatever if we're in there, whatever. Within 2 minutes of being in this car...
Yeah, it's broke.
Like, yeah. How the fuck did you just do that?
Yeah, I'm not doing any toys for the older girls, like, at all. Like, at all. And Joey doesn't agree with that either. Joey is a grown-ass man who still likes toys. So he likes toys.
Yeah, but...
And I understand it. I get it. But I
is that... Like, I can't see Trinity wanting toys.
No, but Lily likes toys still.
Oh. Well...
And I hate it because there's so much stuff and now they share a room. And I hate... Like, we're always on them to clean their room. But some of it's not their fault. Like, they literally don't have room to put their stuff anymore. There's no... And, like, we yell at them because their desk is a mess, the dresser is a mess. But they don't have any space to set anything.
That's how my kids are, too.
And so it's like, it's they're not really their fault. No. And we're just going to keep adding to it. And the problem is that they don't like getting rid of things.
Right.
And I am a getter-rid-of-er.
Just start throwing it away while you're at lunch.
You know how many times I have done that while the kids are at school, gone through there, especially when I wasn't working as much. I just like take a big trash bag, go through their room.
Yeah.
And you want to know how many times they've noticed?
None.
Not once.
None.
They have so much stuff that they don't even know what they have. And to me, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I don't know.
Anyways.
It's enough to make somebody freaking go psycho.
Yeah. I've been trying this year to be more, it's only December 1st, but I am trying to get more into it, and I am less stressed this year because I didn't work really hard at saving money.
Right.
But I really hate watching it go down.
I told Matt, like, hopefully traveling will be a little bit easier in the next coming years, and I told Matt I think we should start just doing vacations for Christmas.
I have seen people do that, and I don't know if I would like that too much.
Not like being away at Christmas, but like the day after Christmas or something, going on a vacation. You know what I mean? Or like getting you things for the vacation, not just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't know. I just would rather spend the money on travel than...
It is stressful, and then there's so many people, like, in the family, and, like, then friends, and then coworkers who get you stuff. It's like, do you buy for everybody, or?
So, we used to buy for everybody. Everybody. And Matt's side of the family is huge. And I was finally like, we need to start drawing names. And then the last couple years, I've been like, okay, you guys go buy for your family. Don't buy for my kids.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law still do it. And I'm like, stop. Like, I didn't get your kids anything.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to. So spend your money on your kids.
Yeah.
Because, and we're all in the same boat. All of our kids have more than enough.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I could get my nephews that they don't have.
Yeah.
So what's the point? Just save your money and don't buy my kids shit. It's not worth it. It's... enough to make somebody fucking go psycho kitty on everybody. Speaking of,
on the way here, Jaden was talking because my dad normally does like a big stuff and like he gets whatever they ask for on their list. But this year he said that he's not doing gifts. He's just going to do gift cards so that they can get their own thing, which is cool.
Yeah.
And the kids were happy about it. But Jaden was like talking to me about it on the way here. And I don't know exactly what, like how it came up. But she was talking about, like, the cost of everything. And then she's like, Mom, is Joe Biden the reason why everything's so expensive?
What did you say?
Yes, sir.
Joe Byron?
I'm just kidding. I didn't really. I'm like, how do you even know who that is? Like, she talks about him so much. I feel like they're, like, teaching her things at school.
Obviously, they're teaching her right stuff if it's... The fact that he's the one who's making our economy trash.
Yeah, but it's not just him.
No, it's all the politicians in freaking Washington. They can all jump off a cliff for all I care.
What are they doing?
Speaking of, when your dad is getting the kids gift cards, my mom one year asked me if I wanted presents or cash. And you know when you go through that phase when you're a child and you like, just want cash. I just want cash. And I got cash and my mom, and I thought because I was spoiled rotten, that my mom was still gonna get me like a few gifts too. She fucking did not.
It was all money.
And fucking proved her point. And I was so fucking sad. It was the worst. I hated it. I cried the whole day. I was so
sad.
Yes, I was so fucking upset. I was probably like 10. And I was so upset. We were in California at my aunt's house at the time.
How much money did she give you?
A lot.
Like, and you were still sad?
Well, she gave me money and then we went and shopped. But it was like, it's not the same.
Yeah. You know. Being able to open the gifts.
Right. Because my cousins were like opening their gifts on Christmas and my mom was like, you wanted money.
And then, like, when it comes to you and Matt, do you guys shop for each other?
So we go, so we'll go like the weekend before Christmas and we go finalize the stuff for the kids that I haven't gotten online or whatever. And then we go to dinner. And then we were talking about it this time, but I'm like, that's not true. I might get LASIK done on my eyes. I have a consultation tomorrow to see. I don't know how much it costs.
I hope it ain't Dr. Death.
I know. That really worries me. It's a 15-second procedure, so hopefully within that amount of time, there's not a lot of tomfoolery that can happen, but I don't know. I have a consultation tomorrow, so we'll see. But that's kind of what I want. But I was like, what do you want? Because Matt is the hardest person to buy for. He's like, meh, I don't know. Cool. So, I don't know.
Joey's a super easy person to buy for because he just puts everything he fucking wants into the Amazon cart.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah.
But the problem is, I don't want to spend money on me and him when it comes to Christmas because I'm already stressed the fuck out about we have a lot of kids.
Right.
A lot of kids.
Yeah.
And I don't want anything.
Right.
Like, I could care less if you get me something or anybody gets me something. Like, I'm good. But he likes gifts. He's like, you know the, like, five love languages or whatever?
Right.
Gifts are, like his thing. Like, he fucking loves things. I don't know. It stresses me out, though. We normally, like, my family gives us money, and then after Christmas, me and him go to dinner, and then we split the money. We each get something. But even that, like, everything's expensive, and the family's all, like, they've all told us they're cutting back this year, too. So I'm just like, honestly, we have so much stuff. Like, I don't... But he can always think of something he wants.
Right?
Always. And even if he gets that thing that he just wanted, there's something else that he has always wanted, and now it's, like... up on the list.
Right.
It drives me nuts. But what if?
But that's probably due to his childhood and not being able to have the things that he wanted when he was young, too. You know what I mean?
I get, like, for holidays, he wasn't, like, didn't get gifts and stuff, but he was spoiled rotten. He never went without what he needed.
Sorry, Joey. I'm trying to save you. I don't know.
He did not get to spend holiday. He never got Christmas gifts.
Right.
Like, so that is... He likes having Christmas gifts. He likes having a stocking. He likes all that, and I could care less about it. Like... at all.
Well, Scrooge McDuck.
I don't feel like that's Scrooge. I feel like that's my calm, cool, collected, very go-with-the-flow type personality shining through.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't expect anything, nor do I want anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Not high maintenance at all.
Not at all. Okay, so today's podcast, we are talking about Snapped. Have you guys watched it on the Oxygen channel? Snapped, where the moms, majority, have just fucking had it up to, cannot take it anymore, and they just kill, kill, kill. I've watched so many snaps, it's not even funny. Also, the first time I ever realized, that trash bags have serial numbers was on a Snapped.
They do?
Yeah.
Why?
And that's how they caught the lady. Because the trash bag that she cut the dude's body into had a serial number, and they tracked it to the Lowe's that she bought the trash bags at, and then they found, like, the receipt that had that particular item number on it, the time, found her. Yeah.
Moral of this story, guys, is don't wrap your bodies in trash bags.
Yeah.
Cut the tags off a sheet and go for it.
I think, like, a drum with chemicals in it is the way to go.
I think a mine shaft.
Yeah. You've really stayed solid with that one.
There's so many of them around here.
Yeah.
And good luck finding a body in a mine shaft. No?
No. So, do you have one?
An awesome...
Okay. Just take it. Take it in, Tashina. Be the calm, cool, collective
also,
Stephanie.
Can I tell you what the best murder weapon would be?
An ice pick. Or an ice sickle.
Sickle.
Yeah. We've already discussed that.
And I was told that that's a terrible...
Why?
Because it melts. And
there's still DNA.
In a puddle? It'll eventually dry up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. Like,
who's going to be like, that puddle's suspicious.
Right?
We should put DNA out of that. Nobody. Whoever told you that was dumb.
Cop.
Was it my husband?
Nope.
Okay, good. Was it your dad?
Nope.
Okay, good. That's stupid.
She may or may not have my same name.
Oh.
She told me it was dumb.
That's because she doesn't have an imagination. That's why.
Stupid girl.
Okay. So you don't have a Snapped is what you're telling me.
No, I thought you did.
No, I do. Because that's what we said this podcast was going to be on.
I don't recall.
And then you asked me.
5 minutes before I came here.
You asked me earlier in a Marco Polo and I told you.
This morning before I got to work. And then I've been at work all day and I'm not in front of a computer. No. Did you see me, Marco, you at lunch?
No.
I didn't have lunch.
But we had discussed it a few days ago. That's what we were going to do. It's okay. It's okay that you don't have the things. I just thought this was a two-person podcast is what I keep hearing, and it never seems...
Never
seems that way.
Okay, recently maybe. But I'm trying to get my life situated.
Okay. First, I want to talk about... Both of these killings are from males, though, not females.
Oh. It's okay.
So, the first one I want to talk about was just recently. It was on November 5th. In Abilene, Texas. Was it Abilene, Texas? It was in Texas. So, did you watch the video that I sent you? You didn't?
I did. I saw it on Facebook.
But did you watch the video that I sent you? Because it had the whole thing in it. Mm-mm. Why do I even fucking send you and Matt anything?
You send things to me while I'm at work.
There are 24 hours in a day.
And 23 and a half of them.
Okay.
Like, he straight killed him.
Yeah. So we just took a little break. Stephanie watched the video that I sent her. So, long story short, a guy goes to his ex-wife's house to pick up their son. They had custody agreements where he was supposed to have the child at 3:15. They showed up at 3:15. Son is nowhere to be found. Apparently, son must have been at a friend's house. The mom said it was okay and didn't tell the ex-husband that he wasn't there. So apparently this has happened more than once. They're always fighting over custody. So the ex-wife is videoing and his current wife is videoing in the truck because they keep having these disputes. So they're taking the videos to court and stuff to show how hostile it is. So they're both videoing and then there's a third person in the house that's videoing.
Who is that? Does it say?
I don't know who that one was. So pretty much the guy, the ex-husband is telling the ex-wife on the side of the porch, like, you keep jerking me around with custody. And she's like, well, the reason he's not, I wanted to see him because I didn't get off work, whatever, in time I wanted to see him. And he's like, you have up until 3:15 to see him.
Yeah, it's my time.
And then it's my time. And so if he said, you know, if you keep dicking me around, like, I'm going to take you guys to court. You're going to be subpoenaed. And Marie's going to be subpoenaed. And he turns around. At the beginning of the video, the new boyfriend.
It's not even a husband?
No. Boyfriend, who is also going through a divorce, is in the video. And then all of a sudden, the boyfriend, at the beginning, he doesn't really say anything. He's not really aggressive. He leaves and goes in the house. So at this point, when he's saying, the ex-husband is saying he's going to subpoena people, he turns around and the new boyfriend walks out of the house. When the new boyfriend walks out of the house, he has a gun in his hand.
What kind of gun was that?
It's
huge.
I think it was like a .22 or something, though, because when he shot it,
it sounded...
Yes. So I think it was a .22. I don't know for sure. So he brings out a gun, and now the boyfriend's like big and bad. Like, I told you to get off my property. You need to get... And so then the ex-husband... So pretty much at this point, it's just testosterone is the problem.
He said, you better... If you're going to have that gun, you better fucking use it.
So then he kind of like starts chest bumping the guy. The new boyfriend is much smaller than the ex-husband. The ex-husband grabs the gun and like fucking twirls...
But he shot the floor first.
Oh, yeah. So he shoots the guy as a warning shot, like shoots the guy towards his feet. At that point, the ex-husband like grabs the rifle, and the only thing that I can think of when I look at that is like in the Nutcracker where they're like spinning with the the gun. Anyway, he spins him off the porch. He spins the boyfriend off the porch. So they're a good probably 10 feet away from each other at that point. The ex-husband, you can't see in the one frame, is standing there. And as soon as like the new boyfriend kind of catches his feet from being spun around, he pulls up and shoots the guy twice, killing him instantly.
Yeah, oh yeah, he fell and didn't move.
The craziest part of that video to me was that nobody screamed. Nobody, like, as soon as he went down, there wasn't a fucking silence. And then he was like, I told you all this was gonna happen. And then the wife's like, the wife that's sitting in the vehicle is like, I got this all on video, Kyle, blah, 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 blah.
But,
and then
I said it before, like, right. I don't think, because the gunshot's super quiet, like, it doesn't seem real.
Right.
Like, yes, he fell to the ground, but, like, I would have probably just thought he was injured.
Right.
But then you, like, her camera, her phone drops, but you can hear her, like, she gets out of the car, and then she's screaming,
right.
Like, you really did! Yeah. Like, she realizes her husband's dead.
Yeah.
And then they're screaming. But I feel like there's probably so much shock involved right. in that entire situation, because his ex-wife, you could see her in the side, and she was, like, on her knees.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there was just a lot of emotion there, even though it was, like, silent for a minute. Like,
it was just crazy to me. I would be, I don't know. Like, you never know how you're going to react when you're in those situations, but it was just so nuts to me that they were just, like...
I would be so fucking mad at my boyfriend if he shot my ex-husband. Like, my fucking kid's dad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how angry. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
So, at this point, no charges have been filed on this guy that shot him.
Why?
He's in Texas, and because of the Castle Doctrine, which is your right to bear arms and protect your property, yourself, whatever, they're saying this is self-defense.
And, technically, he was on his property. Mm-hmm. He grabbed for the gun.
Yeah.
And he was bigger, like...
But he wasn't threatening anybody. He didn't say, I'm going to whoop your ass, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this. He was just talking to his ex-wife about a custody battle, and then the guy went in the house and got a gun.
Yeah. No,
the other guy didn't have any weapons whatsoever. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do in Texas, because...
I know that if, like, somebody comes into your house, like... and you shoot them, it's self-defense.
Well, depends, because there's been a case where the person shot somebody, an intruder, but because they only shot him once, they weren't afraid for their life, and they got, like, manslaughter or something for it. Had to go to jail for it.
Well.
So you're telling me that if somebody walks into my house in the middle of the night and I shoot them dead... Because I didn't, that's why they always say, if you have an intruder, if somebody comes into your house, you keep shooting until you're out of bullets.
You know what I do if I'm scared? It's foolproof.
Oh God, what?
I fucking just statue. I don't move. No, I'm not kidding. I feel like it's the most plausible. Like, if an intruder is in, they're gonna walk right by me. Like, look at this nice statue that is in this house.
What about your children?
I'll fucking pray for them. Ever since I was little, if something scary happens, like if I'm laying in bed and I hear a noise, I physically cannot move. I'm just like a board. And then a couple months ago, Joey hadn't moved in yet. I was sitting on the couch reading a book, and there was a noise in my backyard. A big noise in my backyard. I, like, the only thing that moved were my thumbs enough to text John to come check my backyard. There's something in my backyard. So he's like, okay, I'm on my way. Fucking 20 minutes later, he comes in, and I still hadn't even moved from that same spot. And that he was yelling at me, like, did you check on the kids? Oh yeah, you didn't get here yet. Like, one of your kids lives back there by the backyard. And I'm like, you're screaming. I don't know.
You're telling me your fight or flight is...
Broke,
because you're not fighting nor flighting, you're standing.
I would really like to say that I, like, in an actual situation, I would be super strong and, like, but
I mean, I've been seen in a you lot in of some fake situations
and I can't handle myself very well.
I feel like you're a turtle.
Turtle
is shelling up. You know what I mean?
I would hope that if my kids were in danger, that I wouldn't. It's not something I can help. My body freezes and I cannot move. So, I mean,
I go through a lot of scenarios in my head.
Don't break into my house, guys. Joey doesn't freeze.
No, we know he knows how to shoot a gun.
He fucking shoots TVs, he shoots shoulders, he shoots. You know what's crazy, though?
What?
That fucking guy is really good with guns. He really is, and he has such a good shot. Like, he's had guns his whole. That's why he's so fucking mad about it. Because, how did that happen? He's furious. Anyways, let me just throw that out there. Because he's not an idiot. He's very good with guns.
Nobody said he was an idiot.
Well, I just want people to know.
Okay.
He didn't shoot the TV on purpose.
So, anyways, going back to the story.
Yes.
This guy has not been charged with anything at this point.
When did it happen?
November 5th.
Okay. You said that.
So it's been almost a month. Has not been charged with anything. The two sons of the ex-husband and the ex-wife are still living with him. So his widow now is trying to get custody of those boys, saying that they're in a hostile environment with
a man who killed their father.
And apparently she's been in contact with the older son, and the older son's like, I'm about to run away. I don't want to be here with him. I know it's my mom's fault that he's dead, because I think she let him go and was playing games with the ex-husband, you know, just to be a bitch, and ultimately got him killed.
That's such a fuck situation too for the kids, because, I mean, the courts are going to give them to their
mom.
Biological parent,
right.
Which is their mom, and so they're stuck in that situation.
Right.
So that stepmom, I don't blame her for trying to fight for him, but she doesn't really have a leg to stand on.
So the kicker, the boyfriend who's getting a divorce, is married to a judge in that county. So she has deferred it because they're getting a divorce. So she
Well, I wonder what she says about the situation.
I don't.
Why is she divorcing him? Because he's fucking crazy?
Probably. I would like to see the, I bet he's got some sort of rap sheet. I bet you he does.
What a crazy situation.
Yeah, he's got a little man syndrome.
Wow. We should post that video.
Yeah. So we'll do that. But it was just that I had not seen it. And then my coworker was like, have you seen that video? I was like, what?
I saw a picture of it, like where the gun was. Like,
yeah.
I saw a picture of it and I read a description. That's why I said that I saw it on Facebook.
That is the best video though, because it shows all the sides. The other videos stop when he falls. You can't see him fall to the ground. It stops right after he shoots. You don't see him fall, but that one you actually see everything. So.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's how traumatizing too, honestly.
But how many times do you think this happens? I mean, people that get divorced and have custody battles all the goddamn time. It's ridiculous. Just let the parents see their damn kids.
Seriously.
Like,
if you are keeping your child from the other parent, you are a piece of shit. If that parent is a loving person who wants just to spend time with
their kid. Yeah, I mean, unless they're like a fucking pedophile that want to send them to freaking Maxwell's Island, you know what I mean? Epstein Island. Like, obviously no, but if they're a good person,
stupid ass accusations don't count.
No,
fucking girls do that shit too. I've seen it a million times.
I already told
Matt. A bunch of things are happening and it's not even true. Let them see their kids. Sorry.
I already told Matt that if we ever get divorced, he might as well, we're all going to be one big happy family, because I'm not missing out and he's not missing out on holidays. So we all better like each other.
That's why I seriously work so hard to get along with John. I really do. And especially because I've seen it on the other side now. And I can tell you right now, it is so much better for the kids just to get along. Just get over yourself and get along. It's really not that hard.
Let's mature a little bit and let's put
grow
our kids
up,
first.
Be adults.
Yeah.
And put your kid before your own selfish
problems.
You're not a mama bear. That's what I fucking hate. You know me, mama bear, fighting for my kid. No, you're ruining their life is what you're doing.
Well, and eventually your kid's going to end up hating you is what's going to happen because they're going to eventually be old enough to talk to their father without you, you know,
and that's what
or mother.
I have always thought that the childhood with a kid is so minuscule, honestly.
Right.
Think about your own childhood and how quick you were gone from your parents. That is a minuscule amount of time, and they will be
without you one day, mm-hmm. and they will make up their own mind. And at that point, like,
right,
what are you going to do when you've spent your whole life trying to keep that kid away? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Blows my mind that people even feel like that's something to do.
Right. Yeah. You got to let people see their kids, man. Unless they're pieces of shit, and then obviously no.
Yeah. But I have a hard time with that one, too, because most of them claim that they're a piece of shit when they're...
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know...
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, if you're a fucking crackhead and you have... Living in the gutter is pretty much where I'm getting to that. You know what I mean? Okay. I have another story.
Okay.
So this one I found on TikTok. Okay?
Okay. It doesn't surprise me a bit.
I know. So this gal comes on TikTok and it was like one of... So she had like a 20-part episode, okay? And she's like, how my dad killed my mom and got away with it.
Wow. That's crazy.
No. Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic. I'm like, bitch, I haven't even got there yet. Give me
crazy.
The chance.
Like,
okay, so this is told from the perspective of the middle daughter. She was 6 years old when it happened. Okay? So I will go into more detail about the other two, but that's just the point of view that it's from. I never got her name, so I'm just going to call her the six-year-old. Anyway. So her parents met in 1989. Her dad was engaged at the time. Her mom had gotten divorced and had a 8-year-old daughter. Okay. So they married in June, and by March of 90. So they married in June of 89. By March of 90, they had this middle child. And then another daughter was born 11 months later. Okay. Her dad was a doctor and they lived in Indiana. When the middle daughter was 2, they moved to a small town in Oklahoma. When the middle daughter started going to school, so when she was about 6, she got called into the office and asked, they asked her if she was being touched inappropriately at home. This also happened when she went home. CPS came over and asked all of the girls if they had been touched inappropriately.
Just randomly? Or?
At home. So it turns out the father was under investigation for inappropriate conduct and touching of minor patients at his clinic. The patient ended up going back into the clinic wearing a wire, where the doctor apologized and admitted pretty much to touching her. He touched her chest is what he did. He got in trouble for the incident, but no jail time or anything. He lost his medical license in Indiana, but because states don't give two shits, he was able to keep his medical license in... I'm sorry. He lost his medical license in Oklahoma, but was able to keep his medical license in Indiana, where he had originally gotten it. So at this time, when all of these allegations were coming out, the father was having multiple affairs. The marriage was rocky. A mother had made journal entries basically saying that she was upset because she loves the husband, but he doesn't seem to love her back. She had, you know, 3 kids, 2 under the age of 6 or 6 and under, and a teenager. She was living 800 miles away from her family, so she was feeling pretty lonely. December of the prior year. So the mom is murdered. Well, we'll see. The mom is killed February. So the December prior, the husband leaves the week before Christmas. Vamooses. While the allegations of him touching his patients are going on, he tries to drive to Alaska, where his underage coworker, who was 17 at the time, had moved to. He was about 41 at this time, 42. The wife was calling him, trying to get him to come back before the girls found out that he was even gone, because it was almost Christmas time. She didn't want to have to explain to them. The police were involved at this point because he was under investigation for all of the allegations. And he had to go through Canada to get to Alaska, so he technically left the country.
Yeah.
The authorities end up picking him up in Canada. He never makes it to Alaska. One of the people he calls the night of the murder is the girl from Alaska. When he called her that night, he acted like nothing was wrong. He just said, yep, Carol died, like very clinical and very unemotional. So before I get into like what happened that night, I wanted to kind of give the layout of the house. And on one of the TikTok videos, somebody from this gal's hometown actually went to the house and walked in. It's been abandoned. There's squatters that are living in or were living in it. So she kind of walks through. So the parents' bedroom is downstairs and it's the whole one side of the house. The girls' rooms were upstairs, and the way that it looks is like, it's so weird. Like, you know how my pantry is, like you open the door and you kind of walk in. So that's what the stairs to the upstairs look like. It was like a door, just a regular door. And then it was all frameworked in. So it was very like secluded. I don't know how to explain that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was like there was three walls practically. And then you go up the stairs. Once you get to the top of the stairs, there's like an entryway on the right hand side. There's like a little bookshelf. And then there's two rooms in that little hallway. One on the left and one on the right. If you're coming up the stairs, right in front of that is another bedroom that has a balcony. Okay. The parents' room, as you walk, right into their door, it's kind of a long hallway. And then it opens up into their big bedroom. And then in the little hallway before you get to the big bedroom, on the right-hand side is the bathroom. So the night of the alleged murder, the middle daughter was terrible at sleepwalking. She had been caught on top of counters trying to walk outside. Like, so they were really worried about her sleeping. So the mother would generally put them to bed. The daughter said she would stay up reading until at one point her mom would come sleep with her. She had a queen size bed. So her mom would come sleep with her because they were afraid she was going to hurt herself or fall down the stairs or something. So she said in this, she wasn't quite sure if it was because her parents were like fighting that she slept with her or if that's what they used as an excuse.
Yeah.
To stay in that bed. Let's see. The night of the murder, the daughter was waiting for the mother and she didn't come in. So she, like she normally did. So the daughter, bless you, went downstairs, knocked on the parents' bedroom door. Bless you. The mom came to the door, but didn't open it. So the mom is standing behind the door, girls in the front. The daughter asked her if she was coming to bed. And the mom said, yeah, honey, go to bed. I'll be right up. The daughter thought it was really weird because normally she would have opened the door. The daughter said she laid down on the floor and looked between the crack of the door and could see her mother's feet. And then she could see down the hallway a little bit further, you know, into their room, her dad's feet. The daughter goes back upstairs, gets in bed, and reads for a little while and ends up hearing what she thought were two gunshots. They lived in the country, and she thought it must have been a neighbor shooting strays, because apparently that's what he did a lot, because it sounded far off. Quick thing, side note, for the parents' bedroom, they had remodeled it to make it soundproof.
Huh.
Red flag, but
yeah.
Isn't that not the fucking weirdest thing? So anyway, whatever. And I don't know when they made it soundproof. I don't know. Okay, so the daughter was six. She said she couldn't tell you the exact time she heard the shots, but sometime later, probably around 30 or 40 minutes, she started to see lights on her walls, the red, white, and blues, but not sirens. At first, she said she thought they were police, but come to find out they were ambulance lights. She said eventually she could hear people talking and coming in and out of the house. So she sneaked down the stairs. So she was able to sneak down the stairs without anybody seeing her because it wasn't an open staircase. She could see her dad sitting on the couch with two people on each side. One was a male and one was a female. And her father was covered in blood. Acting perfectly casual, sitting on the couch with what seemed to be his friends, acting like nothing had happened. As she sees this, the teenage daughter just happens to walk by the staircase and sees her. The older daughter tells the little girl, the little girl asks the older sister what happened to her father, because he's covered in blood. the older sister says, he cut his finger. And the little girl, so this is this lady's story, is she's saying that even at 6 years old, like, she knew that was way too much blood to be a cut from her finger. So apparently she told her sister, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what happened to him? Where's mom? I want my mom. So obviously that's a lot for a teenager to try to make up a story right on the spot. So the mom goes, mom got hurt at Walmart. Mom got hit by a car at Walmart. So apparently that night, the dad and the family members didn't know that the six-year-old had talked to the mom. So she's, I guess she told her sister that that didn't make sense either, because if mom got hit by a car at Walmart, the ambulance wouldn't be here, the police wouldn't be here. Because at first she thought that the police were there, but the police were not. That's important at this point. But the ambulance were there. She was like, dad wouldn't be covered in blood. The ambulance wouldn't be here. That doesn't make any sense.
And she just told me she was coming up to bed.
Yeah. Okay. So we're keeping in mind that the police are not there. These are just the EMTs that are there. So also, let's remember that the father is a doctor who apparently is high up at the small town hospital. The EMTs that showed up were staff under the father. The father was their boss. He was in charge of hiring, directly in charge of their promotion, salary, vacation, etc. Small town people with power, and it was the 90s. Skip to when the police finally arrive. She says she didn't technically see this part, but did see him after. So, you know, in a short amount of time from the moment she saw him covered in blood to when the police showed up, the father was completely clean, had no blood on him at all by the time that the police arrived. So the daughter went back upstairs. So she said, remember, I'm 6 years old. I wasn't supposed to be downstairs. My mom had told me to go upstairs. Like, I was trying not to get caught. So she went back upstairs. I don't know why she was really justifying that. I don't know if people were coming at her in the comments like, well, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you ask questions? Like, she's fucking six.
Yeah.
What is she supposed to do? So anyway, so the daughter goes back up to her room for a while. She says she knows she wasn't supposed to be downstairs. She eventually falls asleep. When she wakes up to her father kneeling beside the bed crying. Crying is in quotations, guys. No tears, just being super dramatic. She also noticed that there were neighbors in the room and some police. The dad's face was facing towards her and his back was towards the neighbors and the police. When he saw she was awake in front of all those people, he said, mom died. That's it.
Wow.
Mom died. You need to pack a bag because we're going to the babysitter. She said a policewoman ended up picking her up and walked her downstairs, not her dad.
Wow.
A neighbor took her sister downstairs. They put them into a car. She said she thinks it's the neighbor's car, and then they ended up at the babysitter. So she said she feels like the theatrics were for the people, because he only tried to wake her up and not her younger sister. So by the time her younger sister woke up, she went to bed at her house and woke up at the babysitter's. So then the babysitter and whatever adults were there didn't, and I wonder where the older daughter was at this time, but whatever. So the babysitter and stuff didn't want to tell the little girl, the smallest one, when she woke up what happened. So they made the six-year-old tell her little sister that their mom had died.
Wow.
Yeah. So at some point the next day, the dad shows up to pick up the girls from the babysitters. The dad says, your mom didn't get hit by a car at Walmart. She killed herself.
Wow.
He would go on to tell the six-year-old for years that the reason she killed herself was because she wasn't a good enough daughter. So the six-year-old believes for years it is her fault, because the only adult in her life is telling her so. Like, it's your fault she killed herself. He also bans them from talking about their mother at all. They cannot mention her. They cannot discuss her. They cannot ask her family members about her. They can't ask her what her favorite color was. Like, nothing. You cannot speak of her at all. The dad, being a doctor, had opened a clinic. His business partner. So about the time the mom dies, the dad had opened a clinic his business partner was a pharmacist. So one side of the building was the clinic, the other side was the pharmacy. At the time of the mother's murder, this was a new business relationship. Come to find out, the business partner's brother was the district attorney of this small community. So, who's going to, in a small community, prosecute your brother's business partner when he's potentially going to lose money? Okay, so, the wife's injuries. The wife was shot with one bullet through her mouth. The autopsy was ruled inconclusive. They couldn't decide if it was a homicide or suicide. Part of the reason was because there was no defensive wounds on her tongue. If someone sticks a gun in your mouth, your instinct is going to be to push it out with your tongue. So there would be abrasions of some sort on your tongue as you're trying to push it out. The toxicology report showed that she had sleeping pills in her system along with alcohol. So that could be why. So she said there was so much in her system that she was probably sleeping. Like, she wouldn't have been coherent for this at all.
Wow.
So the gun barrel marks were all the way to the back of her throat. So the gun was pushed pretty far back. The thing is, she was shot once and the gun went off twice. There was a bullet hole in the wall. You don't go to shoot yourself with the gun that far back and miss. The father claimed that the wife tried to shoot him first, and when he rolled over, she had missed, so then she immediately put the gun in her mouth and killed herself. However, where the bullet was, the wall that the bullet was on her side of the bed. So the officers asked the dad if they could check him for gun residue, and he said, I need to talk to my lawyer. But the mother had no gun residue on her hands at all. Later on, the father would be heard saying randomly that you could get gunshot residue on you from feet away. Like, just randomly, he would bring it up, like, nonchalantly, like, oh, if somebody shoots a gun within 5 feet of you, you could get it on you. When he placed the call to 911, he did it from the upstairs phone. When he first called, he didn't say anything as to why. So when he first calls 911, he does not, you know, what 911, what's your emergency? Does not say what the emergency is. Gives them, she's reading these off of the transcripts, a page and a half of directions to his house that are incorrect. She said, I was 6 at the time and could have easily given you directions to our house. Like, we lived out in the country, but it was very easy to get there. And all the directions he gives don't make any sense. Then he says, finally, the dispatch is like, okay, what's the emergency? And he's like, gunshot wound to the head. That's it. And then it goes offline. Before that, though, he states that he's giving her CPR as they're on the phone. But he was on the phone upstairs, and she was in the bedroom downstairs. So not at any point in this did he try to revive her. Then, once he tells them it's a gunshot wound to the head, he hangs up the phone. They can't call him back. He's not answering. So the dispatch is like telling the police officers, like, I don't know if this is a homicide or a suicide. I don't know what's going on. So pretty much he said that she committed suicide because she was depressed. 2 years. So they had gotten a life insurance policy on her, and the life insurance policy after 2 years would pay out for suicide. He allegedly killed her 2 years to the day of the insurance policy.
And he's never once got in trouble. He's walking free.
So her friend gave a statement saying that they had had a conversation not long before she had passed away. about suicide. There was a news article in their local paper about a woman who had committed suicide and left two small children. And she said that she could never do that to her kids. Her parents had passed away when she was 8. And so she knew how it felt to live in a foster home and stuff. And she would never do that to her kids. Like, that is her number one thing. She would never want to leave her kids. So her friend was like, she did not commit suicide. So because the autopsy came back inconclusive, he never got charged for this murder. And he did spend a year in jail, I believe, for another touching episode. But that's it.
Wow.
He's never...
It's so insane how some people can get away with shit.
Right? Like, how the fuck?
And so he wound up raising those girls, like...
Yeah. Yeah, so the girl said, you know, he was my dad. I had to, because everybody's like, how did you're saying this now, but how did you believe that, you know, he didn't do it? Well, it's your dad. You don't think the worst of the person who's supposed to be protecting you, you know what I mean?
But now she's saying...
Well, because I think from all the transcripts and stuff, she's kind of very, it kind of jumps around a lot. I was taking notes from the TikToks, like that's kind of how it came across. And, it's never really said how she went from kind of believing it was suicide to her feeling like her dad killed her mom. Like, I think deep down she felt like that, but then she says that the police are the one who told her that he killed her. So, but she's got a box full of all the transcripts, all of the all the tapes from the interviews, everything that she's slowly going through now.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's getting a lot of traction on TikTok. So there's a ton of people.
They might reopen.
Yeah, there's a ton of people. Well, and the issue is so she hasn't talked to him in a really long time. She has no idea where he is.
Probably fucking murdering some other wife.
Probably. It's just crazy to me. Like, there's a lot there that, like...
People are crazy.
Especially with, like, when you're that high up and you have that many connections to the...
Yeah. Seems like it always happens that way, though.
Especially in small towns. I mean, small towns are the worst for that, but I just thought that one was crazy. And it came across my For You page like a week or so ago, and I was like, eh, whatever. And then I was like, eh. Because it came across again.
I wish there was a good small town murder from here we could do. Like a good one.
There was a murder here.
I know.
And your dad was on it.
I know.
And I was at your house that night.
I know. She may have had my same name there for a little bit, too.
Yeah. That was a crazy one.
My married name.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crazy.
But I wish there was a better one.
I know.
Like, a juicy one that we could really, like, investigate together. I mean, you investigate and tell me what you found.
Right. Yeah, that's normally how it works.
Yeah.
I just thought that one was crazy because there's so many things that don't add up, like, well, and he probably
It's almost like they tried to, like, be bad at the investigation.
Right. They're like...
Because I don't have any formal training and I'm, like, guilty.
Right.
Fucking guilty.
Right.
I don't even need any more evidence.
Well, and then the fact that he didn't, and at some other of her videos, she's saying that he took a really long time. Like, he called the EMS, but he obviously didn't call, like, the dispatch line. He, like, called them personally and was like, you need to get over here and help me clean this up, pretty much.
Because here, isn't EMS and like, it's the same?
Yeah, you call them. Yeah. I mean, well, normally, if your wife fucking just committed murder or committed suicide, you're calling 911 and you're frantically like, my wife just shot herself or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not just, like, giving them random directions. It's like trying to give them directions to my house. You're going to start on Bridge Street, go up to the highway.
Do you know how many times I have thought about being in a situation where I have to give directions to where I'm at, because I fucking suck at them. I couldn't even tell you how to get, like, I can get from my house to your house with my eyes closed,
right?
But could I tell somebody else how to do it?
I would hope so.
Absolutely fucking not.
What?
Nope. Because north is always in front of me.
No.
Yeah. For me,
I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that, because I don't know either. I know in this valley where north is. as soon as I go, unless the sun is up.
Even when the sun's up, I don't fucking, I have no idea where I am. Well, it always. I don't know. And I don't know street names. Like, I've lived here my whole life. And
well, yeah.
Even Joey texted me the other day and was like, I'm doing a job on South Street, which apparently is right next to my house. Center Street, maybe? Center and South? I don't know. And I was like,
I have a hard time with these street names,
too. Yeah, where's that at? I don't fucking know where that's at. He's like, right around the corner. I've only been here 33 years.
I'm much better with landmarks. Like, tell me it's across the street from Wells Fargo. I know exactly where you're at.
Yeah.
I'll come get you.
But, like, what would you say when you're just in a residential? You're across the street from another house. I'm across the street from a blue house with a white picket fence.
Okay, well, for the most part, I know where a lot of people live, so I'd be like, you're across the street from such and such house.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't. I would literally be like, okay, if you're coming from my house, you're going to turn left on the street in front of my house to the stop sign. Then you're going to turn left on that street. I'm not sure what it's called. But once you're on that street, you're going to keep going straight. Keep going. You're going to keep going, okay?
You guys, she just got her hand up, and it's like driving really slow that, like a car.
You're going to get to that stop sign. There's a brown building on this side. On your right side.
By the D&D.
Yes.
Okay.
There's an important hospital building in front of you.
Also called the Band-Aid Station.
Yeah. I'm not sure what street that is, that's but Whitaker. You're going to turn right.
That's Whitaker. The street that you
then
go to.
Then I could tell you, you're going to go to Main Street. That's Main Street because I know. That's the only street that I'll know.
We got to take Bridge first before you get to Main.
That's why I said you turn right on that one street. I don't know what it's called until you get to Main Street. Then you're going to cross Main Street for 4 streets. Then you're going to turn left.
Are we going to my house?
Yes.
Okay. Come on. Where are we going?
4 streets. After that, I'm kind of lost. You're going to go to the church, and then you're going to do a little choo-choo. Then you're going to turn right to Sheena's house right there. Good luck.
Good luck, guys. Hopefully you can make it.
I seriously do not. Joey's lived here for a month, and he knows more streets than I do.
Can I tell you how proud I am? So I'm kind of the same way with directions, but I do better with landmarks. Like, you go here, turn here, there you go. So Matt went to the dollar store the other day, and I asked him to pick me up some bread. Because after Thanksgiving this weekend, I was a hermit. I did not leave my house for 2 days straight. It was glorious. Anyhoozle, I was making eggs in a hole, and I needed bread. So he was out and about because he was remodeling our bathroom, and he had to go to True Value. And so he goes to the dollar store. Well, they've completely rearranged the dollar store, so nothing is where it was from the last time he was in there. So he calls me and he's like, where's the bread? And I was able to directly place him where he needed to be without fumbling with my words, because as soon as he said it, I started sweating like, oh my God, because he gets very frustrated quickly. Fuck, how do I explain this to him? I was able to get him to the bread, and I was so excited because he's like, oh, there it is. Perfect.
I'm so good with grocery stores. I know exactly where things are going to be.
Really?
I
have the hardest time with this.
I did a lot of grocery shopping with my job, though.
Oh, yeah.
And they're pretty much all laid out.
The same. But sometimes they change it, and then you're like, mother trucker.
Yeah, and then they take out some items and replace them, and it's fucking bullshit. But can I tell you my favorite thing to say when I'm giving instructions? I almost always end it with, you're going to turn right at the Texaco. There'll be a man in a yellow poncho. His name's Hank. He'll tell you where to go. Always. And people just look at me like I'm a fucking psychopath. But do you remember that, Dane Cook? Yeah. Is it Dane Cook?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite thing. And that's what, anytime somebody asks me directions, that's like literally the only thing I can think of, because I don't know. I don't even know, because depending on what direction you're coming, it changes a lot of things. I don't even know if I should say right or left, which way to turn, because I don't know what direction you're coming from. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like if you were to call me and say, I'm lost.
Good luck.
I don't know what to tell you. Even if I was like, where are you? And you told me. Wouldn't fucking matter because I couldn't get to you. You know what I mean? But
how are you when somebody gives you directions, though?
Oh, I have so much anxiety about going new places.
What about, like, in town?
in town here.
Yeah.
It's just as bad as if it was Reno. I don't like new places. I don't like new addresses. I don't like new houses. I don't like new friends. I don't like new places. It freaks me out. Like, can you pick me up?
Well, you just wait for the man in the yellow poncho named Hank. Mm-hmm. He'll let you know. All right, guys. Well, this was kind of a long one.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Tashina talking, so sorry about that. Also, apparently our Apple... You didn't listen to that. I've had a couple people tell me that our Apple iTunes podcast part is not working. They can't seem to get the newest ones, so I don't know why that
be. I don't think that would be our situation. I think that would be the Apple.
Maybe app. They need to update their app or something. So,
yeah.
Don't know. All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed those. Next time, Stephanie's going to pick a topic, and she's going to bring something.
Oh, guys, it'll be a treat for your ear holes. Did you know what we're going to do?
No. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.